Welcome to the CryptoCast by Gunnar Cook, the leading industry podcast that brings together expert guests to discuss hot topics and useful advice for blockchain and crypto asset businesses. I'm Catherine Dodds. Thanks for joining me today. Hello, this is Catherine Dodds. I'm here with another episode of CryptoCast. This time I'm joined by Matt Bond, who is the CEO of PopEx. Hello, Matt.
How's it going?
So do you want to tell everyone a bit more about yourself and how you ended up at PopEx?
Yeah, so CEO and founder of PopEx. We've been running for about a year now. Basically, the way it came around is I'm a musician. I signed a record deal when I was about 15, 16, toured the world. After that, kind of started with DJ projects, songwriting group, signed another over 100 record deals. So I kind of had quite a few profiles I was working with. And people would come in to me asking me to kind of do NFTs without my profile and other profiles I work with. But it was just all a bit confusing. And it was more of a kind of smash and grab kind of approach, other than like looking at like longevity and how it can kind of aid the industry kind of moving forward. So that's when we came up with the idea of PopEx, and I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, it's a really cool brand, and I think what is really good about what PopEx is doing, your whole mission is about making NFTs simple. So I think at the minute there's definitely a lot of barriers to entry. So it's really good that you are kind of trying to overcome those barriers. What steps are you taking to do that? And what do you think the main barriers are?
Yeah, I guess like the way we kind of looked at PopEx, the way I kind of seen it from the start, is it's kind of a digital expansion to your merch store. And like kind of understanding your customer base as well. For me, there's two kind of customers that come in and buy NFTs. You've got like kind of everyday music fans who are looking for like experiences and, you know, like your meet and greets or kind of early access exclusive tracks. And then you've got kind of people who want to kind of invest in NFTs and have something that they can maybe sell in the future. So it's kind of addressing those kind of two dynamics differently. So like what we've done is for the people that want to, you know, just get on, you have a utility, whatever perk it is. We've done the custodial wallets, you can pay with Apple Pay. So it's kind of very, there's no real like barriers to entry. But then we're also rolling out a multi-chain strategy where we can also list on kind of OpenSea or any other marketplaces. If you kind of want to go back into the resale side of things.
So that's a really interesting point about Apple Pay. So I just putting that in layman terms, I guess that means you can use PopEx and you can just literally pay through your Apple Pay. You don't need to have a crypto.
Yeah, you don't need to know anything about crypto or wallets or, you know,
it's amazing, all the time. Yeah.
You know, because ultimately, like for a fan of a band or an artist, you know, they're not really that interested in setting all that up in 12 word phrases that they got to remember. And, you know, I think it's got to be really like simple and seamless, the same as if they, you know, going to buy this shopping at Tesco's. And you know, it's got to be the kind of same way. But then, obviously, on the other side of it, to cater for more like kind of the crypto crowd, is, you know, they want stuff in the MetaMask. They want to be able to relist and open see and kind of move things about. So we just kind of offer, well, both options, really.
And what about how do you hold the NFT? Do you need a wallet for that or?
So, you get a custodial wallet that we set up on PopEx. So then you go into your profile, you know, view my NFTs. And like we kind of take care of all that then, and then any kind of utilities they need to show, like to get into a festival or any other perks that we've kind of added on to stuff, is just kind of seamless.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Sounds really cool. And I think another kind of, I don't want to say it's kind of like an outside, I think a lot of people perceive the industry to sort of use a lot of energy and not be too good for the environment, but I know PopEx are all about reducing carbon. What kind of steps have you put in place there to be able to do that?
So we built everything on Polkadot. So the guys actually helped us with our build as well. They were kind of early investors in us, and they, you know, they're the most environmentally friendly blockchain there is. you know, one off. I'm sure that people are going to argue with that. But yeah, it literally uses zero kind of. And with ETH 2.0 though as well, it's like it's not like a great deal. You know, I think this carbon thing has been hyped quite a lot. You know, yeah. as a negative thing, but yeah, we've gone with Polkadot because yeah, it was the most environmentally friendly at the builds. But I do think that whole thing has been hyped a bit to just give it a bit of a negative take in the press and stuff. But yeah, that's where we are really with it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I guess so. Where do you think the music industry is headed? Do you think it's all going to be about Web3? Do you think it's going to be a blur?
I started approaching people a year ago about this, and I had some interesting conversations with that, like, you know, like Dolly Parton's management and, you know, going into some of the big labels, and they were completely against it and clueless and couldn't see where it was going. In the last few weeks, you know, we've just landed Boomtown Festival from a Live Nation. We've got five festivals in America going out. We're working with a charity now on a single with Ozzy Osbourne that's gone out today, which is like all over the press. And I think people are realizing now that this technology isn't directly linked to crypto. Just because the crypto market goes down doesn't mean that, like, you know, the NFT market's going to go down, because the NFTs are worth whatever utility you add to them. And I had someone from a big band ring me, and he's doing guitar lessons. You purchase an NFT of a guitar, and then you can kind of have it, you can like cash that in at any time and have a Zoom lesson with him. And he rang me and said, oh, the crypto market's crashing. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, just because the crypto market's gone down, your service is still worth, you know, your guitar lesson's still worth the same amount of money. And I think when people kind of like detach those two things and realize this is just a new exciting product that can kind of engage with fans in a different way, in a way I think we've lost. A big thing for me is, you know, when iTunes kind of come out and took away your album covers and, you know, actual ownership, there was no kind of legacy in music. Like I discovered a lot of music when kind of you know, grandparents passed away, and I get left a load of records, and I go through the records and I can see, you know, I kind of get influenced by that, and that's kind of a personal avenue. Whereas now it's like Spotify, Genius, this is what you're listening to, and it's probably why music is plateauing a bit, and like a lot of stuff you listen to sounds the same and becoming more disposable. So like what we're trying to add back to it is a bit, you know, a bit more of a journey when you buy music, not just kind of like smashing through songs and not having any attachment to it. There's where music's going, I think I'd like, just from where how people are getting involved with us now, from an artist point of view, if like I think having this chart eligible NFT, so we're doing digital pressings of NFTs, that's kind of a big thing for labels. So at the moment, if labels want to do a final push to chart, they'll be pressing vinyls. Obviously vinyl's bad for the environment, it costs the labels lots of money. People, yes, they want vinyls, but it's kind of limited. It's just taking up space in your house, really, ultimately. But like with the digital pressing, we're offering things like you buy the single, it gets it actually gets registered as chart eligible, which is the equivalent to like 1,500 streams. So obviously it's benefiting the artist. But then within that package, within the utility, you could have like a different version of the song. You could have the stems to do a remix for a competition. There could be a VIP to a show that's like only in your single kind of band. And it's, I think that's where, from an artist's point of view, I think that's where NFTs are going to go. It's going to be a way of like just engaging with fans and kind of keeping them on board, like that the true fan kind of level, kind of going back to street teams, I guess.
Yeah, it's like putting the control back into the artist's box, and they can kind of do what they want with it, to, you know, yeah. Like they can build that relationship with the fan and give them what they want in the realms of what's possible, basically.
Yeah, we're looking at some really interesting things. Now, we've got a band, when they signed up for the NFTs, we've asked for everyone's birthday. And like, we haven't said what the birthday is going to be. I'm going to spoil it for the band now. But basically, the band are going to do like hundreds of messages and then like just ring the people on their birthday and then say, hey, is it so-and-so from your favorite band? Happy birthday. And then just click off. And they're like, you know, and I think that isn't available now, that kind of, you know, I know you can do your cameo thing, but there's nothing that really consolidates that. And I think that's what's interesting about NFTs, is you kind of consolidate that to your true fans and do these drops, and they actually come away with something that's tangible that they can show their friends and stuff that has happened.
Yeah, that's a really nice touch. I like that. It's kind of like you can be like creative with it, can't you? And that's what's so exciting, because it's still a blank canvas, really. Like there's a lot more to be discovered.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen yet what NFTs are going to do. Like I watched someone show me a really interesting video of Tomorrow's World in like the 90s, and it was about the internet, and everyone was saying exactly the same stuff as they're saying about NFTs now. It's like, oh, you know, it's bad for the environment and no one's going to catch on, it's going to ruin the industry. And it's so funny, because it's like you could literally just take the phrases and add them to what's plastered all over Facebook now. But like, again, the vision of PopX was not to kind of go out and say, look, this is what an NFT is, this is what you've got to buy, and then do some big hype project, take millions of pounds in, and people are left with something that they don't really know, you know, what they've got. Like the idea was build a platform that's kind of a safe environment. All the artists are verified, so you know that it's actually that artist that's producing the creativity, and you know, people just got to explore it and do stuff. And from, like, we've had bands in Canada, like just small bands who kind of released 10 NFTs and sold them for £20 each or $20 each. And then they've gone into the studio and they sent us a message saying, oh, thanks so much, we produced. And that shows that it works on that level. And then, like I say, on the other side of things, we have bands that have dropped Popbleheads and said, look, you don't know what they're going to do in the future. And then we've had like Polaroids dropping through people's door from tour. So they all get an individual Polaroid signed by the band, and then actually turned up at one of the holder's house with a big van, and the back opened and the drummer was in the van, and then they just give him a drum kit. And he's like, you know, and then people are kind of, oh, how did you get that? It's all like, oh, these NFTs. It's like, oh, right, okay, maybe they're not bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it is just that piece of like building trust, like using trusted brands, trusted artists that actually look after their fans and not try and kind of, you know, get loads of money out of them, or you know, some hype project. And you know, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with it, really.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think I'm so excited to be in the space. I think it's a good time to be in it. And I'm another thing that I'm personally really excited about is how quick that the creative industries are combining. Like I think like music and gaming will blur a lot in this world, which is quite exciting. I still think there's a lot of space in that area as well.
Yeah, I've got some interesting theories on how when gaming and music kind of combine, ultimately it's going to take down the streaming sites, because they won't be able to cope with the payouts. So like, you know, for instance, you've got games got like 199 million users a day. If you start attaching NFTs into the games where they have to stream via a site, you know, like even 199 million users streaming the site to get like a golden bazooka in Fortnite, ultimately results in the streaming platforms having to pay out some, like if you did 30 tracks and like 54 million a month, which they won't, you know. So the gaming industry is like in a really strong position at the moment. And to kind of ignore, like, you know, this is a really like elegant way that musicians who kind of move into the gaming thing, because you know they've been selling their skins on and they like players on FIFA or whatever, but there's no ownership over it. But as soon as the ownership thing comes in, the next logical step is to have ownership of the music that happens in there as well. And kind of when that happens, if a streaming site's going to be responsible for paying the royalty rate on that, you know, I don't see how they can survive past that. But the interesting thing there is that's for the first time, that's when musicians and artists will actually get paid, and labels will get paid a decent amount of kind of the money that's generated. And it's a bit of a crazy concept, really, because it'll turn everything on its head then.
Yeah, I can't wait for that day. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your time today. So we'll wrap up on that. So that was Matt Bond from PopX. Thank you. Thanks for listening to CryptoCast by Gunnar Cook. Gunnar Cook is a market-leading law firm advising on blockchain, Web3, crypto asset, and DeFi. Our members have been heavily involved in helping to shape the legal and regulatory framework for blockchain and crypto assets. Our team works across multiple jurisdictions, including Germany and the US. We're the only UK law firm to officially accept payment in crypto, and our client base is more than 150. Before we go, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on your podcast service. Make sure that you are following Gonna Cook on social media and sign up to our CryptoCast mailing list on the Gonna Cook website. Thanks so much for listening.